Welcome to the Hustle and Flowchart Podcast with your hosts, Matt Wolf and Joe Fear.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Hustle and Flowchart Podcast. My name is Matt Wolf. I am here with my co-host, Joe Fear.
Hello there.
And we've got a very special guest with us today. He is the LinkedIn Ninja Master. He's
Guru.
The guy that anytime we have questions about LinkedIn, we contact him. His name is Trevor Turnbull. He's the founder of LinkedIn to Leads, which is a lead generation training and consulting company to find that finds and qualifies and connects clients to their target audience using the number one network for business professionals.
LinkedIn.
He's also the instructor of the very popular LinkedIn Influence program, which trained over 20,000 people on LinkedIn.
That is 20,000 people. That's a lot of people.
Yeah. And he's also the founder of the 30-Day Sales Machine, which is a step-by-step training and support system that will empower you to consistently generate traffic, referrals, and sales using the power of LinkedIn.
And so, he's a father of a 3.5-month-year-old. Not year old. Month old.
3.5-month-old.
Yeah. And he doesn't sleep anymore, so he's a zombie. And for some reason, he's still awake talking to us. So that's cool.
I'm not going to lie. I literally just slept through that entire introduction you guys just did for me.
You needed it. It was probably our longest introduction we've ever had, actually. Yeah.
That was probably the longest nap he's had in a while, too.
Good point.
Exactly. Well, I had to give you guys, the bio to be able to pump my tires because I'm a humbled Canadian, right? We don't like to do that for ourselves. So.
We always hassle Trevor with the A and don't you know. It's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, but thanks for joining us, man. I'm looking forward to diving in and talking about LinkedIn today.
Yeah. No, me too. And I know, Matt, you and I chatted I think it was almost like a year ago today, a year and a bit ago, that you and I did a webinar together about LinkedIn. And
yeah,
of course, everything's changed since then. So it's good that we're doing a little refresher here now.
Yeah, that would be random if it was a year to the day.
I think it's a year and a bit, actually, because I think we did our webinar together in February of last year.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
No, this is perfect because, LinkedIn does. I feel like every time I log into LinkedIn, it looks different. There's some, they bought a new company or, SlideShare's in there now. And
what was the other one they just bought?
There's another one.
We were just looking at something the other day that was a LinkedIn company.
Lynda?
Yes.
Lynda. That's it. That's Correcto. Exactly what it was.
Yeah.
They're just swooping stuff up. I mean, and it's funny how so many people kind of ignore LinkedIn as a way to actually legitimately connect with people and connect, make money eventually.
Yeah. Well, I mean, LinkedIn has some very, very powerful features that you don't get in the other social networks. And that's some of the stuff we're going to talk about today is some of the things that you can do with LinkedIn that Facebook or Twitter or MySpace or Google Plus.
About MySpace.
Am I going too far with MySpace and Google Plus?
You're reaching.
Yeah. So, but there's some very powerful things that you could do with LinkedIn that you can't do on these other ones.
All right. Yeah. So let's start this thing off with you, Trevor. Is what's the main reason why someone should stop ignoring LinkedIn or use it properly? So the benefits.
You know what, when we were chatting before we hopped on here live, I think you guys kind of hit it on the head as far as why people maybe don't pay as much attention to it as they should. And it's because there's so much buzz out there about all these other tools, right? Like Facebook, there's no doubt massive audience, right? Mm-hmm. Facebook ads, everybody knows that they can convert if you follow a system, and of course it's always changing. Instagram's the hot thing, Snapchat's the hot thing, whatever it is. LinkedIn's always just kind of been there, right? Yeah. It's not sexy, it's not super social. It gets a lot of bad press as far as actually how antisocial it is in a lot of cases. But the truth is that it is the best and biggest social network for business professionals. And when I say mm-hmm. that, I mean, for example, the program you mentioned when you introduced me, the 30-Day Sales Machine, when I launched that about 2 years ago, I initially thought my clientele, my members, were going to be mid-30s type thing, mm-hmm. 40s type thing, socially savvy, on the internet, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. The average person that's in my program is probably 55 to 60 years old.
Wow.
And they're not obviously just getting started in their careers. They're decision makers. They're CEOs. They're owners of companies, right? And they're starting to get on there even more now because, of course, of all these changes that have been happening. The acquisition by Microsoft was a huge one. because now you've got LinkedIn very tightly integrated, or at least starting to be rolled out to be integrated into their tools, Microsoft Outlook,
I didn't even know that.
Word, Excel, like, you know, we're not seeing it completely yet, but we're going to, right? And I use this example all the time where if you're a CEO that's always been really resistant to joining LinkedIn and you're in your inbox, which you're using Outlook because what, like 70% of, you know, traditional business owners and professionals use Outlook still as their email client.
Right.
But you see this little widget that says LinkedIn, and it's, you've got an email up from your client, and it shows that your client is connected to your direct competitor. But what's the first thing you're going to do? You know you need to get on LinkedIn, right? Mm-hmm. Otherwise, yeah, competition is going to be running over top of you. So that kind of mindset and what's happening with that is creating this like massive influx of not just people, not billions and billions like you see on Facebook, but influential people that can actually make decisions that are in charge of budgets.
Well, think
that's
about
why people are on LinkedIn.
And that's, I actually am totally ignorant and had no clue that it was acquired by Microsoft.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Yeah. So just the fact
that's why we're talking. Yeah,
I mean, that's how under the radar LinkedIn is, even though everyone knows what LinkedIn is, or thinks they know. But it's integrated with some of the biggest companies and networks out there, like you were saying, lynda.com. Just think about the demographic of people who are on there. They're savvy professionals. They're not, it's not like a Udemy where nothing wrong with Udemy, but that's, you know, they're cheaper courses. They're just like, hey, something quick typically. But then you go to Lynda and it's like a full blown, like you'd be certified in something pretty big. Like I knew an attorney, really well respected one in San Diego, that recorded at Lynda's headquarters for a whole course. I'm like, that's all next level stuff right there.
Yeah.
And the fact that LinkedIn's tied in with that now, that tells you something.
And one of the, there's actually an interesting stat too around that kind of stuff is that, you know, a lot of people, I forget what the number is exactly, it's over 80% of people that were surveyed by LinkedIn as to why they use LinkedIn or why they log into LinkedIn on a daily basis was to increase their skills in a certain area, right? So they know that LinkedIn is a place where they can go and find information and training and articles that will actually help them in their job or help them in their careers. Mm. And Lynda is obviously just an extension of that. And of course, that's why with what I teach, you know, we really focus it around adding value. Like even in the way that I use LinkedIn, when I connect with people, I don't try and sell them anything. I just try and add value. And a lot of times that's free training. Hey, go check this out. And that gets them into a funnel, right? So it's just such a great tool if you use it like a human being, but a strategic human being, that makes sense.
Why don't we get into that? I mean, I think that's a good way to start is because literally as we were pre-chatting before this call, I log into LinkedIn maybe once every 2 weeks. I get the email. I mean, I just don't focus on it, nor does Matt. He probably does less than me. But I had like 13 people just hanging out there wanting to be my connection. And, you know, I have 1,300 people, but that's all just like, and I'm just like, I don't know what to do. I guess I'll accept you. I'll make that network bigger. But so what's your process how should people actually focus on LinkedIn?
Yeah, I believe like before we started talking, you kind of mentioned you had a sort of LinkedIn funnel or LinkedIn sort of flow that you walk people through.
Yeah, definitely. And just know that I'm sure almost everybody listening to this is in the exact same position that you guys probably are, where you see the potential, maybe, you know, maybe not even. But you're working on so many other things that LinkedIn just always becomes an afterthought. And it's just another thing you got to spend time on. And nobody's really perfected a process. So I'm not even going to get there until somebody's proven that it works, you know?
Yep.
And I think that's what I've really done. And I think that's why my program's done so well. And we have a lot of great case studies to prove it. But let me give you the breakdown of kind of how this works so that people can kind of see it from a, you know, 30,000 foot view.
Yeah. Perfect.
Sweet.
Essentially, like, you know, LinkedIn is your online, people look at it as their online resume in a lot of cases, right? So they'll speak about themselves as I've done this and I've done that and these are my credentials and all that kind of stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of actually looking at it for what it is, which is just another tool to allow you to communicate to your target audience how you can add value to them. So who do you help? How do you help them? Why should people trust you? How can they find out more Where are you located in some cases? Like realtors, obviously, it's you want some reference to your home market and that type of thing. Mm-hmm. And when you look at it that way, it really shifts the way that you actually use it. And it always starts with the profile, which I've got a great resource that I'll give you guys a link to as well.
Perfect.
That you can share with your audience. But the profile is the foundation of everything, because if your profile doesn't address all those things, it doesn't matter how proactive you are on LinkedIn. If somebody lands on your profile and they don't know what you do or how you might be able to add value, why would they ever want to connect with you, right? Mm-hmm. And once you have that established, there's really a strategic way you can go about using LinkedIn that really ties into this whole buyer's journey that I've outlined. It's a really simplified version of a buyer's journey that I believe every sales process goes through, which is awareness, consideration, evaluation, becoming a customer, and then becoming an advocate or providing you with referrals. And that's okay. The best kind of buyer's journey that you can ask for. And the starting point is the awareness. So you've got this shiny new profile that speaks to your target audience. You have to go and put your profile in front of the right people. And there's tools that you can use that will allow you to view profiles, you know, up to 1,000 a day, even if you wanted to be that aggressive with it. And one of the unique features of LinkedIn compared to other social networks is you can actually see who's viewed your profile.
Mm-hmm. And yeah,
that's a very intriguing feature, you know, in a lot of ways, because people always want to see who's checking them out. Like if you think of the dating apps, that's what make those so popular, right?
Well, I think that's what interests me the most with LinkedIn is I'm literally looking at it right now, and I think Matt just looked at my profile. Maybe that's something with someone else. I don't know. But it's like, I never know. Are they looking at me? Are they connections?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and in my webinars, what I always try and overcome for people too is that the logical thing to think with that section is when you go in there like you just did, Joe, and you're like, geez, how'd this person come across my profile? Instead of taking that approach, why don't you control who's actually going to look at you by looking at their profiles first? Because that's where a lot of the traffic can come from, is because, and just think of that, right? Like if you know that your target is entrepreneurs between the age of 30 and 40 that are located in San Diego, then make a point of looking at the profiles of those people, joining the groups that they belong to. And as they look back at you, if your profile says how you can actually help their business, now instead of just random people or your mom looking at your profile, it's entrepreneurs that might subscribe to your newsletter or might join your online training program or join your meetup group at the local bar or whatever it might be, right?
I like it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that's a very subtle, passive way to use LinkedIn, where you're not even proactively reaching out. You're not doing any kind of sales tactics or any kind of connecting or anything like that. But of course, that would be the next step. But at the very least, if people just increase their activity on LinkedIn, they would see some opportunities come from that. And then beyond that, though, sending connection requests to those people we're talking about, you can do up to 50 per day based on the limits that LinkedIn sets essentially for how much you can do. From that, your connection request rate, so how many people actually accept it, will typically vary between, you know, 25 to 75%. And that's a wide range.
Yeah. But pretty large still for just someone off the street, you know?
For sure. Yeah. So you even think 25% or even say 20%, that's 10 people every day.
Oh, yeah.
If you were sending 50 a day. So, you know, you add that up over a month, you got 300, you add that up over 3 months, you got 900. All of a sudden you're building a nice little network of connections, right?
Yep.
And there's so much that you can do with that too, if you're doing it in the right way. And I know, and again, I'll address the immediate pushback that I always get from this, which is, well, I'm not going to send connection requests to people I've never met in person before. And I think that's a massive mistake, especially in today's world, because the power of LinkedIn comes directly from your first degree contacts. The more people you're connected to, the more people you're going to be connected to second degree, the more people that you can help, that you can assist, that you can provide value to, that you can get your content in front of. All of these things are impacted by you growing your first degree network. So whatever apprehensions people have about like the awkwardness of inviting somebody to connect, tweak your messaging in the way that you are connecting, and consider it a part of doing business.
Like,
I liken it to the fears that people have at networking events. Like, they don't want to go and put themselves out there.
Yeah.
But you know the people that were super successful coming out of university, they were usually the ones that knew the right people. And a lot of times they put themselves in situations where they would just go shake the hand of the person that they wanted to meet.
Yep. Yeah.
And that's what this is.
And sending a request on LinkedIn is a hell of a lot less intimidating than walking up to somebody you've never met in person. So
For sure.
Interesting.
And there's subtle little things. And I actually teach this on a webinar that I do. And I'll keep you guys posted on when we're going to do our next live webinars. But
cool.
You know, one of the approaches that we teach is this permission-based method. So it's one line in a connection request that just says, would you be open to connecting with me on LinkedIn, as opposed to let's connect, you know, like whatever the default is on LinkedIn.
Right.
So you might use some reference that says, hey, we're both entrepreneurs in San Diego. I'm looking to expand my network on LinkedIn. Would you be open to connecting on LinkedIn? And if your profile actually spoke to what you did and the podcast that you ran and the newsletter that you have and these events that you host, and I'm speaking directly to you guys.
Oh yeah, I know you are. It's hitting home.
You know, you're going to get people that'll be like, hell yeah, I'll connect with these guys. Why wouldn't I? You know?
Yeah. Yes.
So your connection request rate could be 70%, you know?
It should be. Yeah. It should. This is amazing so far.
These are the best kinds of podcasts when people just like consult for us for free.
This is why we do these.
There you go. Yeah.
Cool.
Sorry, go ahead, Joe.
No, you got it. I was just getting prompted to go for the next one.
Next step. Yeah, so next step, obviously, you get these people to connect with you. You're building this first-degree network. One of the common mistakes I always see, and again, I go through this in detail in a webinar I'll keep you guys posted on, but is to make sure you follow up. A lot of people are guilty of accepting connection requests and then never responding. So those 15 that are in your inbox right now, Joe, do you plan on sending them any messages?
I was not, but I should.
I know, right?
All right, so what kind of message should I send them? Because I know I should.
For sure. So usually what we teach is to have like a two-step message approach. One might be an immediate message that goes out within 24 hours that's just like, hey, I appreciate having you in my network. Look forward to connecting at some point soon. Like if you're in a local market, maybe we'll meet up at a local networking event one of these days. Take care. No call to action, just a friendly follow-up.
And right? this is automated. You can automate this inside of LinkedIn, correct?
No.
Or that's going in through, and like you just have something preset, basically.
Yep. Yeah. So there's a lot of ways to handle it, right? One might be just using like a text expander tool where you're just copy-pasting type thing, those kind of things. And think about the time that takes every day, right? So you get 50 new connections. It's 30 seconds for you to send out those 50 messages, right?
Got it. Right on. Okay.
Yeah. And then from there, what we teach is that within like 3-4 days, and we actually have a tracking system that we use and we teach our members, we give them a tool and stuff, but within 3 to 4 days, you're following up with a next message. And that next message, again, should always just be value approached, right? So like we have what we call the ask method, and I know there's actual training programs on this, and we were talking about this before about like surveying your people that you're reaching out to and that type of thing. And we essentially teach the same thing in a LinkedIn message, right? So if you're reaching out to these people and saying, hey, here's what I do, I work with entrepreneurs and we help them figure out how to automate and scale their business. And one of the common pain points that we hear are these three things, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, right? Mm-hmm. Does any of these resonate with you? I'd love to hear your feedback. It gets a conversation going. Now, that's an approach if you wanted to have a conversation happening on LinkedIn, right? Mm-hmm. The other approach might be just link them out to a survey, right? Say, hey, I'd really appreciate it if you'd fill out this survey. I'm writing an article on this topic and, you know, your answer, I might even include your answer in the response. That's another great way to do it, especially if you're contributing to any kind of publications that have some name recognition, like an entrepreneur or Forbes or anything like that. But even your own websites, you know, if you're publishing content on your own website and you're telling people that you might actually quote them in their answers.
Oh, that's huge.
Yeah.
Love it. Okay.
So that's how you can get some responses there. And then one of the things that I do is explain to people, you know, what I do and that I have resources that they can have access to. And in the initial message, I might just drive them straight to a piece of content on my website. So no opt-in, nothing like that, right? And then, of course, this is where it ties into sources outside of LinkedIn. But if you're, you know, if you've got pixel tracking on your website, you can then be retargeting those people with ads to your lead magnets or to your webinar, whatever it might be, right? This all kind of ties together. But the nice part about using this from a LinkedIn perspective is, again, you're having real conversations. You're not just sending out praying emails hoping that your open rate will be greater than 20%. You know these people will get it. They've already accepted your connection request. They're reading your responses.
Dude, you got my head spinning right now. Like, I'm just like, I want to just go do this now. Like, I'm just thinking of what you said. I want to get in front of, because like with our EGP letter, for instance, right now we're targeting mainly online entrepreneurs, people like you, people like a lot of the friends we know. But these messages resonate with offline businesses because we have some of those subscribers. That's just not the network we're currently in so much. So that's like a small business owner. We want to start getting into that market, and this is the perfect approach. And just make it a consistent thing every day. Start these connections, start the conversation. I think that's the big thing, is you're starting a real conversation, and then from there, you know, sky's the limit. You do whatever after that.
And I think that's the best part. And you guys know this better than anybody, because you do your podcast as a result of, you know, wanting to be able to connect with people and to be able to start conversations and to learn and then to pass on knowledge and all that. This is just another source to get in front of those people, to ask them questions, to potentially find future podcast guests. You know, maybe they end up in your email list and they end up buying, but even if they don't, there's still a ton of value, you know?
Absolutely.
And the spinoff effect of that. So, and then, yeah, the other side of this, too, is that, of course, as you build your first-degree network, all those people that you become first-degree connected with, you can export all that data, which means that you get all of their email addresses. And while I don't advocate any kind of cold, spammy email strategy, you can, of course, put those emails into Facebook and create a custom audience. And then you can run ads to those people as well.
So that's powerful. If no one understands what that is, it's literally creating your own audience and then targeting your ads specifically to those people. And that's where the money's made when it comes with advertising on Facebook.
And I'm going to actually bring up the question, because I actually asked this question before we started recording, and might as well bring it up again here. So if I export a list from LinkedIn and then I import that list into Facebook, and now I can target my ads to just those people that were on my LinkedIn. The problem is, I don't know how many of those people on LinkedIn are actually, you know, legitimately my target market, right? There's could be just a ton of people that targeted me on LinkedIn and added me as a connection, but aren't really somebody who would be a potential lead for my product. So how do I make sure that those people I'm exporting from LinkedIn and importing into Facebook are actually people that would be interested in my product?
It's a great point. And it really comes down to actually looking at LinkedIn strategically as a marketing and networking and list building tool instead of just randomly connecting with just anybody, right? But the truth is that you probably don't even know who potentially could buy your products or subscribe to your service or whatever it might be. You have a good idea. You have a general typical demographic that does, but you don't know who you're connected to that might know somebody who owns a business that this would be perfect for. So there's always those spin-offs where it's really tough to judge, aside from the obvious ones where it might be your family. You know, who might expect everything for free forever.
We all have some.
I charge my family more.
There you go.
That stops them from asking.
Exactly. But so I guess to answer your question, though, Matt, is like, this is a lot of times what becomes an aha moment for people, is that they always look at LinkedIn as a, I don't even really know who I've connected with. I had a few people that wanted to connect with me, and for a year I was accepting everything, and then I decided not to for a while, and now there's 400 connection request in my inbox. I don't even know what to do with it.
You just described me to the T.
I know I did. So if you actually were to look at that and go, okay, you know what? I'm going to actually take the time to go through all those connection requests that came into me and not be judgmental as to whether these people could actually buy my stuff, because they might know people that might want to buy my stuff, and just start building your network and allowing that to kind of sort itself out on the back end, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because, and that's the best part about the retargeting and getting people into your email list, because, you know, I'm an advocate for to say that, like, email marketing is still the number one way that I drive traffic to all of my sales material.
Yep.
And the number one way I sell is via webinars. It's not LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. LinkedIn is just a source to go and find the right people. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Got it. Mm-hmm. Got it.
It's a great source for that. And it allows me to filter those people into all the other channels that I use to actually build my business.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, my LinkedIn strategy was the same strategy that I had when playing Pokemon, was I was just trying to collect as many as I could.
I love it.
Well, yeah, that's something. I'm like, before I started doing LinkedIn training, like however long ago it was, like 7 years ago, I just like connected with as many people as I possibly could, because that's what I thought you were supposed to do.
Right. Yeah.
And I did the same on Facebook too. And then eventually I stopped that because it was getting annoying. And then I just completely stopped accepting connection requests on Facebook altogether, right. Which is probably wrong. Somebody will teach me why I shouldn't do that too. But
oh, I do the same thing. And I feel like, I mean, that's a whole nother topic, but
yeah. I go back and forth.
Yeah, Mike. I'm back and forth constantly yeah. on Facebook, but we're not talking about Facebook today.
That's right. Screw Facebook.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Right on, dude. This strategy, so was there more to it, or was that pretty much it there?
That's essentially the gist of it. The rest of it is just the management and the consistency of it, right? And I right. guess the other thing, too, is because you mentioned it, too, Joe, like when you hear about this, initially, your initial thought is like, holy crap, yeah, I'm in, you know? But there becomes scalability issues on this eventually, too, right?
Oh,
like
yeah.
you can't spend 4 hours a day in LinkedIn. That's just insane. Mm-hmm. 10 to 15 minutes is more than enough, right?
Sure.
But when you start to see that this is working and you're connecting with the right people and those people are answering your messages or they're answering your survey or they're ending up on your email list as a result of it, eventually you want to outsource this.
Yeah.
And
okay.
That's one of the things that I've really perfected with my agency and the services that we offer to our members is we have project managers and virtual assistants on my team that do this every day. They send connection requests, they monitor responses, they send scripted replies and just pass along qualified leads to our clients.
Mm. And so when I'm looking on LinkedIn and I see like, oh, Richard Branson just looked at your profile, it was probably some outsourced worker that looked at my profile.
Yeah, I don't know if Richard Branson's got a LinkedIn strategy that way per se, but
yeah, and I don't even think his VAs look at my profile, so
but there's no doubt. And like, and I'd like to say that, yeah, you know, people are really savvy and everybody's doing this a lot and it's starting to create this, you know, this nature of LinkedIn where people are going to ignore it because it's just getting too busy. But the truth is that it's like untapped still.
Yeah.
Nobody's really doing it well or aggressively yet.
For sure.
And as soon as they do, this is the other thing, and this is the great part about LinkedIn, even though it drives people crazy, is because they keep changing and they're always adding things and deleting things and all that, mm-hmm. they eliminate the spammers really fast, you know? Because
mm-hmm.
like what we teach is to teach you how to scale what we're teaching within the guidelines of not being a dickhead part of my life.
Sure.
Because we don't like those people either, you know? So we try and teach people how to do this the right way without doing it aggressively that will piss people off, because
right.
nobody wants to do business with those people anyways, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's a slow and yeah. steady approach. Yeah.
Mm.
And you might have a new request in LinkedIn, actually.
Mr. Oh, I Trevor. Don't accept requests from people from San Diego.
Dang it.
Yeah, no, it's your commercials, right? We get these California commercials all the time up yeah. here in Canada.
I would never know that. That's great.
That's funny. Yeah.
We don't get any Vancouver commercials, but
no, I would imagine no.
But I want to go there. I haven't yeah. been.
They're actually pretty great commercials, the California ones. They really make you want to go there. they kind of make light of the fact that, like, yeah, we're always in board meetings, and they show two people like running out into the surf
on the surfboard.
Oh, it's funny. I have seen that commercial, and it's got like a. Yeah, I've seen those. It shows like snowboarders and surfers, and I think like Arnold Schwarzenegger like finishes it off.
It's so good. Yeah. Yeah,
I think Arnold's like at the end. He's like, yeah, I don't remember, but I think Arnold Schwarzenegger gives the call to action at the end of the commercial.
Hasta la vista, I'm going to eat tacos.
Yeah.
All right. So, question: I'm on your profile in LinkedIn right now, and yeah. I'm looking under the section at the bottom or side right, you know, just right side. It says people also viewed Ariana Huffington and Bill Gates So yes. Does that basically mean, yeah, they've, so people, your audience are also interested in those folks, essentially?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I suppose so. Yeah. Because I see, like, when I go to that, and you'd think I'd see a similar thing, but I see, you know, some competitors to what I do, essentially. I see Lewis Howes on here. I see people that have worked with me and for me on here.
Some guy named Michael Askey. I don't know who he is.
Yeah, some guy named Michael Askey. Yeah,
he's a buddy of ours.
Now, I have a question.
Okay.
When it comes to LinkedIn, do you see LinkedIn as a useful tool for sharing content? Like when I make a blog post or a podcast episode or something like that, is it worthwhile to go onto LinkedIn and share that content in, because they have like a news feed type thing, kind of like Facebook. And I've noticed that I've never really gotten traction sort of sharing things there. I'm curious what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, I think your best bet with that would be to publish those as LinkedIn articles and then share those, because then you're not getting lost in the mix of a news feed that is LinkedIn, which I don't think people spend a whole lot of time on. I don't know what the exact stats are, but it's a hell of a lot less than a Facebook news feed, for example. So if you're just sharing a link over to your podcast or your website, it's getting lost in the mix like a Twitter tweet real fast, right? Whereas if you're creating articles that have brief summaries of your guests with a photo of you talking to the guest or just a photo of them and then a link to the podcast article, or even like put the MP4 right into it, you can actually embed MP4s and videos and stuff right into your posts.
Oh, wow. Cool.
It's just another source of traffic, right? And then one of the other nice parts about it too, and you can see it on my profile there, Joe, when if you're still got it up.
Yep.
Is right still above the fold, I believe, if you see the same thing, you see your articles and activity.
Yep.
So you can see my articles on there. You can see my activity. You can see the things I've shared. And that, again, is just another thing because, you know, with what I teach about your profile, a lot of times this is the path that people get to your profile. They look at who's viewed their profile, they see you, and they get intrigued by your headline, whatever that happens to be, right? Helping San Francisco or San Diego entrepreneurs scale and automate their business, you know?
Yep.
And they click through. They land here. What's the first thing they're going to look at? They might look at your background photo. That might be call to action. Because again, there's a whole strategy to how I teach this. And again, I'll give you guys a link you can share with your audience.
But, sure.
You know, address a pain point there. Provide the solution in your headline. You scroll down. What's the first thing that you see for an image is an article. If that article speaks to the audience that you're actually going after, they're going to want to click through. They're all just complimentary pieces to be able to further explain what you do. So you got to capture people's attention and basically tell them a story.
So we're basically saying, let's go to Trevor Turnbull's LinkedIn profile and model what you know.
Pretty much.
Yeah. No, it's
share that, or look the at the resource that I'm going to give you guys.
We will.
And go through it yourself, you know, because it's step by step. I actually created like a 7-video series on how to fully optimize, create like an irresistible LinkedIn profile to attract your ideal client.
That's awesome.
And it's got examples of backgrounds. It's got examples of headlines. It's got a full transcript with timestamps in there of a report.
Oh, perfect. So, yeah, I was actually, my next question was going to be diving into a little bit about how you would design the profile. But instead, let's just tell people.
Just use the
Is that the link that we just created, the evergreenprofits.com/LinkedIn?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I think that would be the one. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So if you go to evergreenprofits.com/LinkedIn, you can find his blueprint to build the ideal LinkedIn profile.
Love it.
Yep.
Did you want to...
I had a question about LinkedIn paid ads. Do you have any luck? I've tried it a few times and have had zero luck.
I found it to be very expensive, the one or two tests I've done, but I'm curious what your thoughts are too.
I'm sure there's a way though.
I've probably used it as much as you guys. I've ran one set of ads, and I know that there's people that have been successful with this. In fact, I know I've met a few of them before at different conferences. And in most cases, what I've found is that the people that are successful with LinkedIn ads have large budgets, number one, but they're also selling high-end products, right? Like the individual I'm referring to sold franchises. So when they were selling franchises, they were there was a $50,000 fee for it, right?
Yeah.
So if they made one sale off of a $50,000 ad budget, it paid for itself.
That
right?
makes sense then. Yeah.
But if you're selling memberships to a newsletter or something like that, it just doesn't make sense. Like, so my answer to that is no. Mm-hmm. I haven't dove into it because we've been so focused on perfecting the model without having to pay for ads mm-hmm. that I just didn't even want to experiment because it was just too damn expensive.
That and makes most perfect other people. Sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Cool. All right. So just kind of our last couple wrap-up questions that we like to ask everybody. Do you have a book that you would recommend or that you find yourself reading over and over again?
Oh boy, that I find myself reading over and over again.
It's yeah, I mean, you know,
time, actually.
A lot of people have like a book that they read, you know, once a year, once every other year. Do you have any books that you kind of constantly finding yourself referring back to? And if not, if you don't, do you have any sort of books that you can recommend people check out on some of the topics we've talked about today?
Yeah. Well, you know what? Like, I work very closely with a couple of sales trainers that have really influenced a lot of the mindset of how I go about my sales strategies, too. Mm-hmm. So I will mention one here, too, is the guy's name is Eric Lofholm. He's in California mm-hmm. as well, actually. Eric's yeah. in Sacramento, I believe. But he's got, I can't remember what his main book is, but the one that I always kind of brush up on and remind myself of is called Sales Scripting Mastery. Mm-hmm. So it's Eric Lofholm, Lofholm.
Okay. We've actually met Eric. He was at one of
have you?
Yeah, he was actually at one of Henry's meetings one time.
Oh, okay. Yeah, like, the name sounds very familiar.
Yeah, yeah. Cool.
God.
Yeah, so Eric's somebody I've hosted on a few webinars before. He's done the same for me. And the nice part, we really complement what we teach, because you can think about this, like sales scripting mastery, that's what we're doing when we're drafting messaging scripts for LinkedIn too, is we're not selling, but we everything that we're doing is being done purposefully, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's what this really teaches, and I really like it because it's got lots of strategies and tips in here from a business standpoint on how to actually lead those conversations and how to, you know, sell without selling, I
got
guess.
It. I like it. Yeah, that's a common theme. I mean, on our podcast, we're constantly getting books, and most of them are, it's either mindset, a lot of mindset, but there's a lot of scripting or copywriting related books.
Yep. For sure.
It just says that's just another reason any business owner should know good copywriting.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So,
good stuff. Well, I think that's it, huh, Matt?
Yeah.
Anything else lingering?
I don't know. You've got your favorite question that you always like to ask people.
Yeah, I like to stump people with this one.
This one always stumps people. So,
What is one question that us or someone else should ask you, but they just don't normally ask you? You're like, why don't they ask this question? But it's like it's something you would love to educate people on. They just don't ask you.
Oh man, you know what? I got a good one for you.
Nice.
Because there's a guy actually locally here in Vancouver. I think he's about to launch his podcast, but his whole concept was like the struggle behind the entrepreneur, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, the one question that a lot of times doesn't really come up because it's an awkward thing to really bring up for yourself. Is, you know, what is one thing that you struggled with that you contribute to getting you to where you are today?
Mm-hmm.
Got it. So I have a follow-up question.
Sure.
What is the one thing that you've struggled with that got you to where you are today?
Good question.
Yeah. And you know what? Even to expand on that too, I would say like, what is the thing that made you hit rock bottom or something around that effect, you know?
Yeah.
You never really talk about this when you're talking about business stuff, but I like that question because it always comes back to allowing somebody to relate to you, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And because I don't claim to be a guru, and I know you guys, you know, introduced
me. That was a joke.
And I like it.
That was a joke. I mean, not really a joke.
No, I know. But it's funny.
Yeah.
And but I always just like to, you know, come across as being a normal person, right? Like, I started a website development company. We ran it for 3 years. We basically, you know, made $0 for 3 years. I went through a divorce in 2009. Mm-hmm. My second wife that I'm with now, we had two losses for kids. And throughout all of that stuff, it's I've just tried my best to look at all the positives. And I know that's one of the ways that I actually met you, Matt, was through like a leadership program, self-development, and that type of thing. But
yeah, Joe and I were in it together. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah. So, you know, like, and I know, Joe, you and I had that conversation too when I was in San Diego recently about right. you guys taking in foster kids and that type of thing.
Yep.
But we forget about these things a lot of times that, you know, I'm not perfect, yet I've found a way to make my entrepreneurial dreams come true through consistency and learning from smart people and being okay with failing and just getting back up and doing it all over again. So if I could encourage anybody listening to this, it would be, you know, no matter what phase you're in, know that me, you, the guys on the other end of the mic here have all been in the exact same spot
right.
or worse in some cases.
Yeah.
So, love you know, it. Trust in those that have been there and are willing to be vulnerable enough and say, hey, it's not always rose petals.
Yeah. It sucks. It's true.
But makes man. You stronger.
Awesome. Awesome response.
Great, man.
Best awesome one. Response to the question that you asked yourself.
That's true. That's why we asked that one, though. Yeah. Awesome, Trevor.
All right. So everybody needs to go to evergreenprofits.com/LinkedIn. That's where you can get the profile, the basically your blueprint for how to sort of craft the perfect LinkedIn profile. Other than that, is there somewhere else you want to send people to check out or any other sort of calls to action you want to add in here?
You know, that's the best place to go to get some of that training. And then, of course, you know, what we talked about here is how I run my business as well. So like when you go to that page, it's going to ask you to opt in to be able to get that information. And of course, the information I'm going to give you is going to be jam-packed with value. In fact, everything that people always tell me that consult with me on this kind of stuff say, you need to stop giving away so much stuff. But I like being that guy. I'd rather be that guy. I'd rather give away everything and have people want to join my program because the support's so great. That's what I'm trying to build for my community.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so the only other call to action I would say is send me a connection request on LinkedIn. I say this after every video I do, every webinar I do. I want to build my network on LinkedIn. Of course, it helps my business grow, but it also helps me connect with people and know what they do and what their pain points are and how I can help them. So find me on LinkedIn.
Awesome. Perfect. I did. All right, Trevor.
Joe.
Awesome, man.
Cool, man. Well, great chatting, and I know we'll do it again soon, and I just opted in to get that or that training so for the LinkedIn stuff, so I'm like, I'm going to dig in tonight.
Awesome, and hopefully we'll be up in Vancouver sometime soon.
We'll make it happen.
Got to. Absolutely. You guys are always welcome. You Americans are always welcome in Canada.
I see what you're doing there. That's cool.
Just keep letting us in. That's all we ask.
I have no problem with that.
All right,
there
we go.
We'll chat soon.
All right, dude. Talk to you soon.
Cool. Bye. Thanks, guys.
Hey, thanks so much for tuning into this episode of the Hustle and Flowchart podcast. Now, if you don't know already, myself and my partner, Joe Fear, every single week, we put together this killer weekly newsletter that's completely free. If you go to theweeklyprofit.com, you can get on this weekly newsletter. And what we do with this newsletter is we scour the internet. We read every piece of content, listen to blog posts, check out new software and tools, and we distill down the best of the best into a weekly newsletter and deliver it directly to your inbox every single week. So head over to theweeklyprofit.com and make sure you're signed up to receive that weekly newsletter. You're going to love it. Thanks so much again for listening to the Hustle and Flowchart podcast. We'll see you in the next one.